cliffcentral.com.
Oh, that's my jam. Hi, guys. So you are listening to the Weekly Mashup, and you know when you hear my voice first that Tumisha has decided to take a sick day, guys. So it is me, Candace Mama, and my non-existent co-host right now, Tumisha Masha. No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. I'm just throwing shade. Because I woke up and I still got in the car. But shame, he's traveling from Pretoria, so the taxi strike did affect him. But worry not, I do not travel alone. I have a phenomenal co-host who I'm so grateful is here and was not affected by the taxi strike. He is a bodybuilder, an entrepreneur, a survivor, a motivational speaker. He's actually doing everything right now, and I'm so excited. Hey, Lee Morris.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
Good. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm actually happy I came too. I mean, now we know you would have been alone, and then we had to speak by yourself. And
I would have had to tell the world how great I am.
By yourself.
By myself.
Can you imagine?
And you know, if there's no one agreeing with you, people just don't believe you. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you can always set like recordings and then speak in a different voice and then say, I'm amazing. And then another voice will say, yeah, yes, you are. And then you can just go back and forth all day. You know, it's... There's ways around it. There's definitely ways around it.
You know what? I would have never thought of those ways. But clearly, you experience. You know this.
It's always about self-motivation. That's how it begins. You know, you speak to a mirror, people walk past and they say, oh, that guy's a bit crazy. No, I'm just trying to get myself going.
I'm hyping myself up.
Yeah.
I'm making my own day.
You know that hop. You've got to make yourself a beast, a savage. And the only way to do that is by screaming at yourself in the mirror and like, maybe I have done the recordings a couple times and spoken in a couple different voices.
I can tell.
I think so.
I'm like, you've been your own hype man. How great is that? But I mean, a bodybuilding league.
Yeah.
How long were you doing it for?
I started in 2014. I've always had like a very big passion for training. I was involved with rugby quite heavily before. And I got into the training to recover from a back injury back in the day when I was still playing rugby at the age of 16. And then bodybuilding just kind of became like a massive passion for me. And you know, I was always a beast, so I never really like had this good body. So my confidence was always like really, really low as a human being. So I got into the bodybuilding, but it just took over and it became this massive passion of mine in 2014. And there was a lot of people that contributed to that and that were part of that whole journey that I still appreciate for their place in that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it takes a lot of discipline, though. How old were you?
I was... In 2014, I was
24 now, right?
Yeah, about 21, 22, around there. And so obviously you go straight into the junior categories. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly enough, South Africa's got a massive amount of junior bodybuilders that are outstanding genetically wise. Mm. So it's a very contested category. Mm. And, you know, you just get into it sort of as a transformation. And the next thing you know, it's like, okay, let's get ready for a show. And my coach at the time, he was like, listen, we're going to get you ready for a show. We started at the beginning of 2014. First show came up. I get on stage. Yeah. And like, I'm just expecting to just
show. Just like, get like spotlight. Well done for coming, you know, spotlight. Medal. And they bronze you, right? Don't they bronze you? Yeah. So you're looking.
Like a statue. Yes. And it affects white clothes. And
I can imagine. So what did you find? So what happened to you after your first one?
I won the show.
What?
So that was like, I was like, I blew my mind because when they called
you were
my
never
name,
ready.
I wasn't like physically. I pushed myself there, but I never went there with any expectancy of trying to do well. I went there with, I'm going to get on stage. I'm achieving a dream of mine, and I'm trying to look good and have a six pack. And like, I mean, you know,
that's the dream.
You shred it, you know, you look good. There's veins everywhere. It's fantastic. You get so excited. And then next thing you know, you're winning the show and like you're looking around and like first place and you're like, that's mind blowing.
Wow.
And then it just, my passion just went and went and went from there. It just grew more. And I really love the sport, not from the superficial side of it, because it's become a very social thing where everyone's just a bodybuilder and everyone's eating healthy and everyone's trying to transform. But there's a whole other aspect to the game where you delve in and it can help you with everything. Your body conscious affects how you work in your workplace.
And discipline.
Right? Everything in life.
Because the amount of discipline that it takes to actually achieve the kind of body you need to win and compete is what you can use in disciplines of work, you know, careers, relationships, because each of these things require a massive amount of work, right?
100%. I've always said that. I've always backed that up in that the sense that it affected, it gave me so much more discipline in a lot of things.
Mm.
And from work to how I behaved out in public, how I spoke to people, relationships, things like that. It gave me discipline. But the biggest problem I think, like, and I faced a lot with it, was your ego.
Oh, yeah. Such because you go from being this chubby person who no one pays attention to.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, everyone is paying attention to you.
Suddenly, you've got like your likes go up. You know, you're no more posting just motivational quotes. You post a photo of yourself.
Did and you everyone's know?
Like.
But can I tell you something? Did you know that it has been proven, a study was done to show that when you get a like on Instagram or Facebook, it gives you the same dopamine rush as, you know, like eating chocolate or...
I can attest.
Know, right?
Yes.
Because have you ever, like when you post a picture sometimes and then it doesn't get liked, you're like, what's wrong with the picture? I like this picture.
Why don't I get three?
Yes.
And then you get depressed and then next thing it's like chips out. Man, I have to
ice cream.
Damn it. I'm back now.
I actually do want us, because I mean, this is a youth-based show, right? So I want us to go into, you know, June 16th and all these things and what it means to us.
100%.
But before that, I actually want people to know just a little bit more about your own personal story and your story of overcoming, so that, you know, we can set the tone before we go into the next conversation.
Okay, well.
Yes.
In short terms, my life has been a general struggle, and I mean, you know, like what we're going to discuss with what June 16th means is that it's a struggle. It's tough, and I've come from a life with a lot of hardships, involved in a lot of bad things. I've built myself up, you know, most especially what went on last year was overcoming cancer, and it was a positive thing for me, but like we have discussed.
But let's actually delve into the cancer story, because I mean, you are very young. You're 24.
Yes.
Right? And when we think about a disease like cancer, a lot of the time we stereotype it into an older category, or you don't think it affects people our age.
That's what we understood
about. Right? So what happened? So one day you were already at the peak of your game. People knew you as Lee Morris, the bodybuilding champ in South Africa.
Phenomenal, like what
you,
we say,
right? People were like, this guy's going to really blow this industry out of the water. Next thing you know, you're just chilling at home, and then what happens?
That was basically it. It was an evening. I was laying on my couch, just relaxing, doing my thing. I'd come back from a night out where I'd felt absolutely fine. I mean, we'd gone out, I'd still smoked some hookah, so just relaxing.
So you felt good. Yeah.
I felt fine, and I felt like I was at the top of my game. I was a few weeks out of my shows, and everything was like positive.
Yeah.
Well, not a few weeks. I was about 12, 16. It was about there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was when prep would start.
Okay.
And I was laying back on my couch, and I went to take a sip of water, and I saw like there was blood, like trickles in the water.
Oh.
So I was like, that's weird. Maybe something, maybe I cut my lip or bit or whatever it was. And as I laid back down, there was this like almost as an unstoppable cough just came out.
Okay.
And as I coughed, there was this massive clot of blood, and I sat up and I was just shocked, and I lived by myself.
Yeah.
And I coughed and it came out, and I was like,
what is happening?
And I just coughed and coughed and coughed, and I started panicking. I lived by myself. I moved out of home when I was 19 because like I've discussed with you, like I had a very hard upbringing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get away from it. So lived by myself. So I'm panicking and all of these things. And fast forward, the next morning I went and did cardio. Happened again. Then I got a bit of a panic. I said, you know what? I need to get a hold of my doctor.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be problems.
Yes.
But once again, the stubborn...
you were like, I'm strong.
I'm strong. Yeah. I went and I still trained legs. So I still felt fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, eventually I get to my GP and we go for scans and we go for tests and everything. And everything felt like okay. Like I was nervous. And during that period, obviously with the coughing and that, like there was a change. Like I had very
hard
breathing and talking and things like that. And we went on to some like medication and whatever it was. And eventually we went for scans and it was identified that there was a stage one lung cancer tumor in the my lung. And
stage one.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning.
Cancerous tumor.
Yeah, in the lung.
Wow. Okay.
In my right lung, yes.
Okay, so how do you feel about that? So the doctor tells you that, and what is the first thing that goes through your mind at the moment?
I'm not invincible.
Damn. Right.
I thought I was invincible,
and
my
like,
ego
shit.
Was so big at that time. Like yeah. I can say that without even doubting it for a second or denying it or trying to play it off.
Yeah.
Like, my ego was so big at that point.
You were like,
I thought nothing could touch me.
Exactly, because I mean, you are now known as this bodybuilding champ, right? You're at the top of your game in every respect, and all of a sudden you get this huge setback. Okay, so the days afterwards, so what happens?
So
you go
ran,
for treatment,
went
right?
went for scans, and we started treatment. We started treatment right away as soon as we could. And I was going to try and keep it as quiet as possible.
Yes, tell no one.
Because, like, tell very few people in my life. Like, at the time, the coach who I was with and so forth like that. Like,
yeah, not make it a big deal.
Not make it a big deal.
Okay.
Because, like I said, coming from the life I have always, that people have always been like either, oh, shame, he's gone through a lot.
Okay.
Or, oh, he comes
pity,
from that.
Pity.
Pity
is such an awful emotion
like,
to feel.
I didn't
I
want
hate it.
Because once again, it was at that point in between ego and like
you wanted people
confidence.
To see.
Yeah,
like,
so,
you know, you'd overcome.
So
you didn't want them to see
so
a weakness.
I didn't want it to be weakness. And that's what I felt. So I went through it, started treatment, and unfortunately things just weren't working. And there was a very negative effect on my body.
Okay.
And I went through with everything and they just said, you know what, at the end of the day, this is not working. We need to send you for a head-to-toe scan. Went for a head-to-toe scan, and that's when we found the tumor that was in the brain. Now, that for me, in terms of my mentality, I still remember on the day, very close friends of mine, they knew that I was going, and I just panicked. I didn't want to be around anymore because like, I was like,
I can
at the
imagine.
End of the day, all these puzzle pieces have put me in this place in life. And I'm like, why? Why do I need to do this anymore? Like, I don't need to go through all of these struggles that make me cry, that make me negative. And I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And that's also like a big thing. And dealing with it with myself. And
mentally, it took a huge knock on you mentally as well.
I can't even. You know what? I still feel like I've lost a part of myself. And I'm still trying to find that person again.
Okay.
With that same fire and passion like I used to have. Mm. But after that, we delved into everything. We went into treatments. And like I was discussing, we did also a lot of homeopathic treatments. And things that aren't really voted for by the public,
but
trying to make yourself better and stuff like that. We went down that road, and you know what? It was a journey, and like straight from that, after what happened, I decided, you know what? I need to do something with this.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I know what I've gone through in life. So if I'm very emotional and I just let myself go with what's happening, people that used to look at me as a motivation, that is going to also think, oh, I'm going through stuff in life, I must give up.
Yes.
And that was my whole thing. I didn't want anything from anyone. I didn't want anyone's pity. I kind of like enclosed myself. And in that, like I try to become this motivation, but I also made like a lot of judgment mistakes with people. And it was such a confusing time.
I can imagine. Because
so
I mean,
lost. And you're so, and you're young.
Young.
You're young.
Mm.
And I'm living by myself. So it's been 5 years living by myself, and I'm finally trying to figure everything out, and I'm just lost.
Mm.
So I'm just doing my own thing, and then I'm here, and then I'm there. And it was just, it was a journey that scared me.
But through the whole journey, right? So next thing you know, you fought it.
Yes.
And now it's in remission.
Since November, yes. I went for another scan now a couple months ago, and I've got another one that's going to come up. And then just for the next 5 years, you've got to do a couple reoccurring scans, obviously, to just keep on checking.
Yes.
But now the whole lifestyle's changed. My body doesn't react like it used to.
Yeah.
And there's aspects of bodybuilding that, like, you know, it's changed. And mentally, you know, trying to build back, because it wasn't just physically.
Yeah.
You know, it was financially on me. Everything that occurred last year, like, it was like a loss of everything. So you lose everything in your life. You lose everything worth fighting for. And then you've got to now find the motivation to come back. So that's been the biggest, the thing. So, you know, health-wise, we're there. But, you know, as I was discussing with you earlier, there's been positive sides to it, and there's been a lot of negative. And people play a part in everything there.
How do you think that, I mean, because now we've discussed, right? So your journey has included overcoming the first part of your life, which was a tumultuous background that you come from.
Yeah.
Then you become this incredible bodybuilder that everyone is talking about.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get this cancer scare, and then it's almost like you go back, right?
Very much.
And then all these people, all these negative situations. How did you manage to stay positive? Like, what drove you to say, you know what, I'm going to fight this and I'm going to come out on the other side better?
I suppose it would be like 24 years of people telling me that who I am and what I can't do with my life.
Mm.
You know, having that constantly told to you and hearing so many things about you as a human being.
Yeah.
That when you sit back and you're like, how in the world did you come up with that?
Mm. So defining yourself.
So defining me, and I've always been that. I've always faced these massive uphills. I've always faced what people have told me who I am and what I am and what I should do and where I should go and how I should act. And
yeah.
I've always had this always accompanying me, and that's always been my fire inside. And you know, to stay positive, it's difficult, because I'm not going to sit here and say that through the entire time I've been positive, that there haven't been negative times. I mean,
I love that.
2 weeks ago I was very, very low. I was at the worst place I have been in a long time. But you know, you just have to keep on. That's the biggest thing, especially being a young person. There's so much in life. So much can change in a year. So much can change in 6 months. Yeah. If I look back at where I was exactly a year ago, it's literally around this time that everything started happening. So I look back a year ago to this date, life was very, very different.
Yeah.
So where can I be next year?
You know what I love about that statement? It's choice. Right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time people think when you, because I mean, I'm a motivational speaker, and a lot of times people think you should be motivated all the time and you should be happy all the time.
That's impossible.
And the truth is, no human being functions on one state in any given situation, right? There are moments where you also sit back and you're like, you know what? Today I don't feel like being happy. Today I've got to deal with emotions. What I actually like is, you don't allow yourself to overstay your welcome in any space, right? You don't allow yourself to stay feeling sorry for yourself for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes what people do, because it's comfortable.
Yeah, essentially. And you can, I don't care how strong you are mentally as a human being. If sometimes you hit rock bottom, and no matter what you do, like, rock bottom stays home for quite a while, and you just go through that.
And you have to go through it.
Yeah. Right? At the end of the day, you have to, and you have to rise again, and you have to know that at some point you're probably going to fall again. It's life. I really don't think there has been a human being that's walked this earth that can say, from when they were born to the day that they died, every day was perfect, every day was happy.
Happy days.
Every day. It's impossible. And people always say, yeah, but if you got all the money in the world, and there's always that phrase, money makes you happy or money doesn't make you happy. You can have billions and trillions
and still be the unhappiest person.
You don't know. And you can have family, you can have friends, you can have this whole world. But in truth, I don't think there's one human being that can ever say that they're just completely happy, unless it's like an islander living. Like, he has no clue. He has no clue about anything else. He knows what he has to sell every day.
Yes.
Makes
and
his
even
plans
then,
happy. But even then, he gets upset maybe if the coconut falls on his head. He's having a bad day.
You know what I know for a fact, though? We grow the most through pain, right?
Yeah.
So painful moments actually bring out our deepest character.
Yes,
because
definitely.
I feel like a lot of the hardships I went through actually shaped me. It's like going, it's like being a diamond, right? Diamonds, you don't pick up a diamond and it's already polished and clean. What you do pick up is a rock. You pick up a piece of charcoal that has to go through the pressure cooker, and when it comes out on the other side, it's a sparkling diamond, right?
Yeah, it's a big process.
Don't you find the problem with the youth today, though, is everyone wants to be a diamond. No one wants to go through the process.
That's 100%. And people get very, very shifted off their pathway because of that. And also the problem is, everyone wants someone to be their version of a diamond.
If
I look at a diamond, I like this diamond shape.
You like the circle.
Yeah.
I like the emerald.
All of a sudden, you're being pressured to be a certain way because, and now then everyone's just, okay, I want to do that. I want to do that the quickest way. Do this.
Yes.
No one's actually thinking about what the meaning of life is and what
for
we
you
actually, especially at our age, there's so much pressure.
Right.
If you don't have a nice car, if you don't wear nice clothes,
apartment,
if you don't have a nice house,
a Instagram relationship.
If you do not have all of these perfect aspects, you are frowned upon.
Yeah.
You are not this fantastic human being anymore.
Yeah.
No one gives a hell about you anymore.
And isn't, you know what I find? launching into the whole, you know, Youth Day. And in 1976, right, it had its own struggles. So the youth of then were fighting a very different movement.
Very
right?
completely.
And we've come an incredibly long way since
Without
then.
A doubt,
and
yes.
gratefully so. But I think that our youth today are facing a very different struggle. And our struggle is the struggle of, you know, finding ourselves in a society that wants to tell you who you are. So Lee Morris, you went through ABC, therefore this is the result. You have to be this.
Yes.
And when you're not that, what do people do? Judge.
Judge, they get negative and they say things and they do things that I think if they had actually sit down and think to themselves what they are doing and what they are saying and how they're behaving, they'd frown at themselves. And no one's perfect.
No
Always
one.
Hear that phrase.
Oh,
our parents
gosh.
Used to say, don't throw stones from a glass house. Everyone
yes.
lives in a glass house.
Every single one of us.
No one is perfect.
Yeah, you know
we
what?
All judge. I know. I'll walk outside if someone does something like,
you
if a
judge.
Guy falls and it's funny, like I'm going to judge him, number one, because he's falling and it's funny.
You're right.
But
it's your go-to reflex.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you stop seeing and you stop being human, right?
100%.
And that's the thing. So I think that a lot of the time in today's society, Instagram and Facebook have allowed us to give forward our best selves, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to post that ugly picture. We take like 20 pictures just to post one,
yeah.
right?
100%.
And people always posting their best selves.
Exactly.
And then they fall into depression because then
that's
they bump into you in person. It's not a reflection of who they are.
No.
You know? And
I can't see it every single day. Always, you know, coming from the background that I have and you know, socializing with the people that I do now, the majority of the people that I socialize with are not from, like, what I've come
yes,
from.
Yes, yes.
So, like, you know, you'll see how people will act. And I've always been a person, I'm a Scorpio. So
okay.
in any sense, I always stand back and I watch them.
Yes, you're an observer.
I like to see what's going on and how you're behaving. And what people perceive versus what's real. That's always been like my thing. Like, and not to say that you can do whatever you like.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with anyone.
Do Everyone
what you
should
want,
love the
what
way
you
they
want.
Feel.
Be crazy, dye your hair purple, cut off your middle toe. Do what you like. If that's your thing, do it.
If that's what you do, boo, do
if
it.
If that's you do, that's
yeah.
what you do.
Yeah.
But like, it's always crazy to see like how something's perceived, relationships, friendships, people, versus what's true.
What's true. And you know what I find? I'm one of those people who I never post my relationships, like romantic relationships. You will never. If I have dated you, you are not featuring on anything I do, right? So, because I just feel like a lot of people, this is what happens. You get so invested in other people's relationships on Instagram, right? They post like, me and Bae having like Sundays, me and Bae like walking, me and Bae. So when they break up, they go radio silent and all of us are like, no, boo, now we all broken up. Like we need to know what happened to our relationship.
It is so crazy you know? That you mentioned that because that's essentially one of the biggest, like I was discussing that negativity that came about. That was what it was like, you know. I also, in a previous relationship that I was in, it was a very long time of my life.
Yeah.
And we were very social media.
Ooh.
Very.
Ooh.
And it was also, you know, at a time it was partly me and then it was
partly
my partner.
It's never just one person.
So, like, we would go through it and it became that when we broke up.
Everyone wanted to know what happened, right? Because we all invested.
And because it was my, like, everything happened and the way things ended wasn't nice.
Yeah.
Granted. A friend of mine actually mentioned it to me.
Yeah.
I became this villain.
Okay.
And then
there's always the villain in a breakup.
But then everyone that was about the relationship was like, bad guy.
He did it. How dare
he's a horrible
he?
Human
How
being.
Dare
and then
he
next
leave
thing
us?
Everything just rolled. And I sat back and I've watched this for like the last year and I'm like, wow, guys.
That's the problem.
Wow.
Like you let people invest so much in things they have no idea about, right?
Yeah.
Because you know what's funny? Like I always see I've been tempted. It's not like I haven't been tempted to like post that cute selfie with your partner and you're like, I want people to
it's
know
a good
I'm
photo,
not like
good lighting.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's just awkward cropping them out.
Yeah.
But
weird.
Like you want almost everyone to know that you attached and that you're happy.
Yeah.
But the problem is sometimes people aren't happy for you. Sometimes people you post a picture of you and your boo and they're like, we're gonna destroy that.
And it's like you're reading my mind. It's like everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what you're saying. Now what we were discussing earlier, same instance.
Right.
You know, happy with the person, everything's going well.
And then all of a sudden there's all this pressure around.
And then everyone's just trying to ruin that.
And that's the problem. Like, there was a saying that if you want to destroy your relationship, put it on reality TV. I think if you want to destroy your relationship, put it on social media. Because a lot of the time, I'm a firm believer in the ideology that, you know, sometimes you have to work in silence. And sometimes I feel like you have to build in silence as well.
Yeah.
Because it's people will be negative about mm-hmm. something they know nothing about.
Yes.
And sometimes you're just not in the right frame of mind to listen to the negativity. So it affects you, right? So you say, if everyone says it can't be done, then maybe I'm crazy. You know, instead you should have just been working in silence. Build it. Show them that it can be done. Don't tell them. Because all of us are trying to tell people, like, I mean, I log onto social media and I see people posting like Ferraris and big houses and they're like, oh, this is going to be me in 10 years. Oh, this is going to be... Right?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying hustle and let's see the end result, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's difficult. You know, for some people, they use it as a motivating factor, you know, to go back and see what you've posted and see what you want from your life.
Mm.
You know, because if I sit back and I go back to where I was in high school,
yeah,
like where I am now, or say where I was at the heart of what I was doing, I never thought that was where I was going to be or what I was going to be doing. Mm. So, but you're right. Like, keep down, hustle, do your thing.
Mm.
You know,
Work harder than you talk.
Yes, you know, try your best. And that's the thing, is that's a difficult process. It definitely is, but you've got to get there. You know, you've got to pick yourself up. And like I said, with myself personally, I'm going through those phases of trying to find that again. I've got to get back. You know, just speaking briefly, the people that I'm associated with now, the Sheriff Training Systems and my coach Jack Lotter.
Yes,
fantastic team. Fantastic group of people.
Yeah.
Unbelievable physiques.
Mm.
And you know what Jack does for a lot of us, and his support and his guidance, and it's all factors that are trying to get you, and everyone's trying to push you to get to where you want to be around all the negativity that's happening. You know, you've got a group of people as your team in my career, so for instance, where I'm trying to hustle and get there, they're pushing you. So you know what it's you've got to also look at your surroundings when it comes to your hustle.
Important.
So you know who you surround about, who the people are, who you turn to during your, like, you know, I've got a person I turn to through everything. You know, it's complicated situations at the moment, but you know, you turn to this person because they get you through that bad space. They get you through that time that you can't get through.
I actually love that. I love the point that you're making, because I think a lot of the time we surround ourselves with the wrong people. And then we expect to get the right results, right?
Yes.
So I'm a firm believer that you will become like the people you hang out with the most and the people who you confide in the most.
Yes.
Because if you build a network around yourself that says, this is my tribe, these are the people that I know have got my back.
Yeah.
Then there's less likelihood that there's going to be infiltration of negativity, right? Because you've chosen them well.
Yeah.
And not out of just loyalty, like, oh, we've been in high school and we went to primary school.
Oh, yeah, it's very rare.
Very rare. So it's important. I like that the fact that you're saying that in your hustle, you need to be with people who also understand the hustle. Because I'm not a bodybuilder, so when I'm looking in from the outside, I'm not going to understand the certain struggles that you go through as a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Whereas you're saying Jack, right?
Yes, Jack.
Whereas Jack will look at you and be like, okay, I understand the speed bump because I've been there before.
No, exactly. You know? But like, that's the thing, is you've got to have these different aspects. But once again, like, negativity always finds a way of getting into your life at some point, no matter what you do.
How do you fight it, though?
That's what you
long
do.
Long sigh. You just
get it out. No, to fight off the negativity, it's all about believing in yourself. And you know what? If there are negative things that are going around and affecting you, you've got to either look at getting those negative things out of your life or proving those negative things wrong.
Mm, I love that.
So if there's negativity, it's either get it out or prove it wrong.
Mm.
And there's only one way to do that, is to try your best.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying your best, like, no one else can falter you. You can't falter someone that's trying their best. If they're giving 50%, then you can motivate them. If they're giving 99%, you know.
You know, the one thing I try and stay clear of from is actually defining myself as a motivational speaker, because I don't want to motivate anyone. I think the biggest problem with motivation is that it doesn't last, right? You'd need me to be there 24/7, literally, for you.
You have a talk, an hour later, you're like, oh man, damn.
Right? You feel so good in that moment, and then the next day you wake up and it's like, oh wow, you know, yeah. or you forget, or you fall back into old patterns.
I'm negative again. Yeah.
Exactly. I think the biggest thing you can do is be an empowerer. Say, look, I'm going to empower you with the tools I have.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you are being dictated to by fear, because isn't that the biggest thing, right? All of us.
Essentially, we're scared.
We're scared. What if they write? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not worthy of this goal?
Yeah.
You know, and then that's why people struggle to follow their purpose in life, because they're like, oh, what if I actually do it and fail? Then who am I?
Exactly, 100%.
And I'm like, you've learned the lesson. You just take those lessons and you move on.
That's life. Unless your life ends, like, you're going to learn lessons.
Right?
You can learn lessons.
And lessons sometimes are... Not sometimes, all the time. They're very painful. Lessons tend to be more painful than like comfortable. Because when we're comfortable, what happens? We stop working. We stop moving.
So if a lesson didn't really affect me, I wouldn't be like, oh.
Yes, exactly. Right? Cool. I need to change. Right?
No, it's lessons. Like, you've got to learn them. And it's all about defining yourself and doing what makes you happy.
Oh, I love that.
It's you. At the end of the day, you have to be happy. You know, we're always trying to do what our families want us to do and our friends want us to do, and what Jack says and what Tony says and what
Pizza,
Mary says.
Paul.
All these people, like, these are all obviously random names. Yes, not Jack. Yes. Jack will kill me. <my coach.
laughs> Not you, Jack Lawson. Not you.
But, you know, we're always trying to listen to what people have to say about us becoming who we are.
And
do
they
what
don't
makes
know.
You happy. Whatever makes you happy. That's, at the end of the day, the most vital thing is you got to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not speaking like this because I've accomplished that and I'm happy and I'm 24/7.
Yeah.
No, I'm probably still like down, and but I know what I need to do and I know what I'm trying to do, and that's where we should be going.
And I think there's a bit of a disclaimer to the I completely agree and I completely understand it, but sometimes I have to tell people when we tend to say do what makes you happy, people think that if I'm not happy 24/7 doing this, then it means it's not the right thing.
No,
people. So what it is like when we say do what makes you happy, because can I tell you something? Nothing is harder than living a purpose-driven life.
Yes.
Because when you're on your path, you experience more obstacles,
because it's what you want.
You're learning and you want it so badly that you understand that failure is not an option. You're going to keep learning, but you're getting to that end point.
Indeed.
But when we say happiness, do what makes you happy, do what your soul tells you to do.
Yes.
Because not all of us were put on this earth to be multimillionaires. Not all of us were put on this earth to be celebrities. Not all of us are here to be rappers. You know, some of us are here to be teachers. Follow your heart. Some of us are here to, sow into the world and be environmentalists. But you need to understand why you are here.
And that's what we've discussed, like what we want to try and go into with obviously tomorrow's public holiday.
Youth Day.
And how we are these days, like, everyone's just motivated by one thing.
Money woman.
Yeah.
And for women, it's like money. No, money. We don't say men.
You go.
Money marriage. Money marriage. We're motivated by the double M.
No, but like, it's true though. Everything is revolving around that.
And popularity.
That's it. Everyone just wants to be what everyone else is in everyone else's ass. It literally goes like that, like a confusing little
maze. We're like breeding a crop, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like we're breeding a crop of the same type of human being.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone must
so
be
sad.
Very outspoken, humorous.
Oh my gosh.
Dress well. Like, what are we going to walk? If there is ever an alien invasion and they just decide to pop in, like, they're going to be like, why are these people doing the same things? One's individual. And they're all going to rock up like individuals. And we're going to be like, we should have known this forever.
But that's the thing, right?
But you get it's a minority amount of people that are individuals these days.
Oh, yeah.
That do things to themselves. Everything.
And not forcefully so.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so funny sometimes. I see, like, all of us on Instagram, and you log on to Instagram and everyone wants to be different, right?
Yeah.
But everyone's the same in essence. Like, in trying to
group.
Be in trying to be different, you are actually being the same. And it's so funny. Like, the biggest thing that actually, well, not the biggest, but one of the good things that happened in my life was I went for a dye job. So everyone knows my hair if you follow me on Instagram.
Yes.
I went for a dye job, right? I had long hair. Then I went for another chemical process. And my hair fell out. Like, it was that simple. My hair fell out. At the time, I was like, oh my God,
what am I gonna
I'm never going to be loved again.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I didn't even care. I was just like, the world's never going to see me again.
Not because of how you care about yourself in the mirror, but what's
Instagram going to say?
What are they going to do now when I go out? Everyone's going to say.
They're going to revolt.
Yeah.
And then I decided, I'm just going to cut it and style it the way I want to. And yeah. this was the best thing I've ever done for myself. Because all of a sudden I wasn't grouping myself into when people are like, oh, pretty girls look like this. I was just like, okay, then I guess I'm not pretty. If that's what you're, you know, whatever. Like, to me, I'm happy. I'm happy, right?
Comes down to our final discussion. At the end of the day, just be happy. Like,
do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Don't let me, Lee, your mother, your, you know what? Like, Bob Marley hit the nail on the head when he said we were all born alone.
Yeah.
And we're going to die alone. So why are you trying to live for everyone else? Right?
But that's my whole thing. Is like, I try and explain, and it's just like...
Do people glaze over when you explain?
People look like they're listening.
And then they walk away and do the opposite.
Yeah. And I sit there and I'm like, but...
Wasted.
I never said that. I never said that. Mm. I said, let's try do that.
Yeah.
Oop.
What are the top three things you'd say to someone? Like, if a young kid in high school comes to you and says, Lee, the three best lessons that you could give me right now. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just like floating. I'm 16. What would you say to them?
Without a doubt, study.
Okay.
Study hard in matric.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would definitely be surround yourself with the right amount of people that you can trust, that never let you down, that never are there and they're not there when things are good or things are bad. Mm. Surround yourself, even if it's less than a handful of people. And number three, follow your heart.
Mm.
Your mind and your heart obviously always have this massive disconnection. You know, and people say, no, my mind and my heart are happy. It's very hard for that ever to happen. Unless you're doing what you really do love.
Yeah.
And you believe in it. So those are the three things like I'd put for emphasis on is not just studying to do what everyone else wants you to do, but get through your matric. Especially if you're in high school. Get through your matric so you've got something.
Mm.
After that, the real world begins. Whether you go into varsity, you go into a college, or you decide to take 15 gap years and come back later.
Yeah.
But follow your heart. That's where all that emphasis comes in.
And listen.
Follow your heart. Study. Get through your matric results. Because that's like one thing, like, you always want to go back and you've got to, those are the three aspects. If I was talking to an 18-year-old, and obviously it changes if I'm talking to a 21-year-old or a person my age or a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It's all different aspects.
But
looking at, going back to, say, maybe the Lee Morris that was in matric, because he thought he's going to be the next big thing in rugby.
Yes. Oh, things, yeah.
Like, obviously there were effects that happened and whatever, the way the road went. But speaking to an 18-year-old at this point, that's what I would say to them.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know what? Follow your heart. Surround yourself with the best people.
Mm.
The best people.
Yeah.
And make sure you're getting through that path where you are now. Mm. Get through your matric. Because then you've got something. You know, everyone says, you can't do anything with the matric these days. You at least have an education. You know
and
how
just,
to read to write.
You're done with that aspect of your life, you know?
It's that compulsive where everyone tells you you have to.
Yes.
See, varsity, you have to, but it's tertiary education. You don't have to go.
But finish the basic, the foundation.
Finish your foundation so you know the basics of life. So when it comes down to, say, when you're 45, you're 45-year-old man,
yeah, you
or woman,
don't feel like going
and your
back
daughter
to
comes
matric.
Up, I'm trying to write an essay, like, and you, at least, you know.
You can help them.
It helps you with your basic needs in life, your basic understanding, little things here, little things there.
Yeah.
Except maths. Maths drove me crazy.
John has three apples. Calculate the size of the moon.
No,
that's what maths is. No, but you know what I'd also add? I think accountability. So for me, the one word that actually changed my life and probably changes the way I operate in life is accountability. And I think the reason that is because when you're accountable for your own actions, you hold yourself to a higher standard, right?
Exactly.
So you don't point fingers at Bob, Susie, Paul, Peter. You're always saying, okay, where did I go wrong? And it gives you more power to change it. Because if you're waiting for someone else to come and say, Sherbert Lee, you know, I messed up and I'm sorry. Usually we wait for a very long time because people sometimes, when they hurt us, they don't come back and apologize. They're just like, oh, wow.
Look, that's what I... Like I've explained to you and I've said now on the show that throughout the period of last year, like, there were a lot of things where like I had to take accountability for decisions that I made and where I was in my life. Yeah. And I have to. Mm. I do.
Mm.
Everyone makes mistakes in life.
Yeah.
Everyone really does.
Yeah.
You got to be accountable for it.
Mm.
And that's at the end of the day, you know, if you don't have that, I don't think I'd be half the person I am.
Because
then I'd just be running around being like, no, I never did anything. No,
I am perfect.
I'm perfect.
Which I am. But for the rest of you mortals.
Yeah, we've gone over this.
I speak for the mortals out there, not for myself. No. No, but you know what? I think accountability takes you a long way. And I think not trying to fit the cookie cutter mold, right?
Yes.
Because I feel like all of us have such exponential human potential. Once we start accepting that this is my path in life, it doesn't mean that just because it hasn't been done before that you can't do it. The best things that happen in life are the things that haven't been done before.
Yeah,
right?
It's the biggest risk.
Exactly. And if people aren't scared by your ambition and your goals, maybe it's not big enough. Maybe it's not something that you actually believe in. You're not selling them on it. You know, Steve Jobs. Look at him. I mean, when Apple started and they came, when the whole Apple process, when they were starting to become really big, Steve actually had a room where he pitches ideas and no one is actually allowed to say how that idea won't work. Everyone has got to say how they're going to make it work. You know, and it comes back to your team. Surround yourself with good people. Take accountability for your own actions and where your life is going.
Exactly.
And stop trying to be like everyone else, yo.
Stop trying to conform.
Stop trying to conform.
That's man, like with the youth, especially today, like there's so much pressure. And if dad and mom says study this.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna go be a lawyer because mama says so.
Say you got this deep passion to become
an environmentalist.
An environmentalist or an actor.
Mm.
So, like something that's not your more desired jobs these days.
Yes.
But you've got a passion for it, but you're so scared. You're sitting inside, like right now you're sitting at home and you're thinking to yourself, I wanna study this, but
I have no idea.
Everyone's saying that I can't.
Exactly.
No one's saying it's a good idea because maybe I won't make 120,000 rand a month.
Mm.
All the money in the world, when you get buried, you go in a
solo
casket or you
solo.
Burn.
You got to be happy.
Like that millions and millions in comfortable couches and Egyptian cotton and Ferraris. It doesn't.
I mean, those things are really nice, but
fantastic. I'm not saying I wouldn't love
one
right now.
But
it doesn't come with you.
And it doesn't guarantee happiness.
But what are you going to be remembered as?
Mm. You know what, another thing I actually want us to talk about? Kindness. And the reason I actually want us to address kindness is because I find that a lot of the youth today are so arrogant sometimes that they forget to actually just be decent human beings.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want to address. Like, how do you feel about that? About just being a decent human being? Just being nice to people?
The problem is these days, and we'll go back to social media, being nice to people is sort of someone's weapon to prove that they're nice people.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you nailed it.
So, like, when you do something nice and no one needs to know about it, and it doesn't need to be put on social media, and it doesn't need to be shouted to the world.
I do charity work. Look at my Instagram video.
Yeah, it's you and me. It's me and the person.
Yes,
like,
I like
it's just
that.
Us. You know, and the thing is, why aren't we more nice?
Everyone's
so
kind?
Angry. Everyone's so horrible. And, you know, especially if you haven't done anything to someone, like, and there's maybe negative surrounding you.
Mm.
Why be horrible to that person if
you have
no clue about it? You've got nothing. But, you know, if I say to you, okay, no, Jeff is a nasty person, like you and I, we're on a team now.
Yes.
So we're going to be nasty
because
to
we're
Jeff.
Gonna, and that's the problem. Like I go through life literally believing that everyone I encounter is a good person.
Yes.
You know, and that it's up to them to prove me wrong. Whereas sometimes I get into environments where people just believe that everyone is a nasty human being. So they go in being nasty. And you attract what you feel, right? What you, your aura will speak for you way before you get into a room. And I think especially people who are trying to get into bodybuilding, into entertainment, into any industry really, be kind to people. Don't overlook the receptionist. Don't be mean to the lady who's cleaning and sweeping. Be
nice. Don't be kind for any other reason but just being kind.
You're right.
Like, don't be kind because you expect.
You
like,
expect.
Did you see I complimented you.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I said, that's a nice watch. Like, where's my thank you? Where is your thank you? Just be nice. You got a nice watch. Walk away because you made that person's day. You made that person's day. Your day doesn't need to be made. Someone's going to make yours.
Exactly. And people, I was listening to someone I'm such a huge fan of, Gary Vaynerchuk. If you guys don't know him, go and check him out. Gary V-E-E. And he was talking about, you know, this elusive idea of karma.
Yeah.
All of us say that karma is this huge thing. Like, you're going to sow this huge debt into the society, whether it be good or bad, and then it comes back to you in this huge way. He's like, karma is just living. Like, if you are mean to people, people are going to react in a mean way to you. If you are good to people, people will be good to you. Like, it's an instant thing. It's not this long, drawn-out thing, right?
Yeah, and the right people will be. Oh. That's the thing, is if you do certain things for certain people, that group of people...
And don't like you were saying, don't be nice just because, like,
no.
You expect something in return. Be nice because there's so few nice people, you know?
Make someone feel special. Random human being or someone that you care about a lot.
Compliments.
Like, I've always been like that. Like, that's, yeah, granted, I have made a couple mistakes in my life where I've made people feel horrible.
Of course, all of us have.
We all have.
You learn.
But, like, when I'm me and I'll make that person feel damn special.
As you should.
But not because I'm expecting, them the to same do thing something. Back. Yeah. So, yes, your chocolate. I want one back. Like, yeah. No, it's not.
I just want you to know that I bought you chocolate. So, can tomorrow.
I yeah. Anything. Just to make me feel better. I feel empty now because... Oh, if you're not... Okay, fine, I'll take a chocolate back.
Yeah, and especially when you start becoming something and you start growing in any industry you're in, you know, don't big time people.
No.
And I think... I learned that, I mean, I work in the best environment ever. Cliff Central has been such an incredible environment for me, and everyone is so good here. And I remember once upon a time, I won't name the guest that came in, but she had such attitude. She was so mean to everyone. She didn't greet anyone. She came in for an interview and she left. And she had a fan, right? So she's now big time in the South African context. And she had a fan waiting for her. She was like, well, I don't have time for him. And then she walked straight past him. And I got so angry. Like, up till today, when I see that person, I change the channel. I switch off the radio station. I do everything because I'm just
that's
like...
That's your entire understanding of
that person. You know, and even if they were having a bad day, it doesn't justify treating other people like crap, right?
Like, that's the thing is, like, everyone around you, like, don't, you can destroy someone's life.
Oh.
And that's my biggest factor with everything.
Oh, my gosh.
What you say and what you do.
What you sow.
What, like, if it's real or if it isn't real, what you spread and what you do around the world, like, you can destroy people's lives.
You
and
I'm speaking,
like... I know that some things that people have said about me, it's broken me.
Mm.
And it's destroyed stuff that means a lot to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's words.
Words.
Everyone talks about, oh, I have a gun, I have this.
Yes.
I know if I had to really get really upset and I dislike someone, I know the stuff that comes out of your mouth can destroy that person so much. You can make that person turn around and hate their life forever.
That's it. And you know what? There's a nursery rhyme or whatever that goes around in the playgrounds that say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me.
Yep.
I actually think sticks and stones will break your bones. But words will damage you forever.
They do.
Right? Because, I mean, I look back at my life and I look at, you know, certain issues that I still face as an adult today that stem from words. Not you know, what was
and
done to me. Not what I went through, but the words that were said to me.
At that time.
That still affect me as an adult. And I can still justify it and say, oh, you know, it was said in a bad environment, it was said, but those words have stuck with me for life, you know, and
exactly.
It takes conscious recalibrating of your own mind, saying, it's not true, you know, you're still a good person, you're lovable,
no,
you're this.
You can still be in your late 40s
and still be like, I'm not worthy of love.
That's the thing.
Because one person back then said you're not worthy of love.
That's why it's prime, like at our age, as the youth of this country, like whatever we're going through, everything that's happening in the country, like it's important. The only way we're going to get through is we look past all these other deciding factors that everyone's established for us.
Mm.
You know, color of your skin, background, personality, all of these things. We look past all of that and we actually just focus on people, human beings. We're all human beings.
Gosh.
Like, we all behave differently. One person might jump higher than the other. One person might be able to punch harder than the other.
Our talents are in different places.
Talents are different, but we're all human beings.
Yeah.
So, as a human race, especially in this country, it's all about coming together and identifying with, as a youth, with each other and trying to go forward and trying to do good things for people and try to be yourself, No matter how bad your situation is.
Yes.
That's the
and nothing will enrich your life more than people.
No.
When you are surrounded by good people and you are a good person, you have the richest and most colorful life. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more than material because, I mean, there are a lot of wealthy people who don't have a single person and they lonely. You know, and that's why.
Filet mignon by yourself.
Nothing is worse than that.
Who are you going to cheers to?
Yourself. You just bring them back. You record voices. You record different voices.
No, you're going back to that. No.
But Lee, oh my gosh, I've actually loved the show, but we're actually coming to an end. And I want people to know where they can find you, how they can get hold of you. You know, so tell us, what's your Instagram, firstly?
Okay, my Instagram is LeeMorris_19.
Okay.
And my Twitter handle is Lee_Samoan_1.
Okay.
From back in high school.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
No judgments.
And then on Facebook, I've got my normal, my fanbook page is Lee Morris Bodybuilding Athlete.
Okay.
So that's where it is. I'm also very much connected with the Sheriff Training System. Okay. So that's Team STS. So you've got two websites you can go on to, www.teamsts.net or www.sherifftrainingsystems.co.za. And basically that will allow you to gain entrance into us. You know, it's a very innovative training system where we work off apps. There's personal training in gyms. And everything's kind of calibrated for you to succeed. And there's a huge support group, like I was saying. So we've got our own page on Facebook, separate. But obviously, you've got to be a part of...
Okay, a part of the agency.
The team, STS. And, you know, you pay your monthly rates and everything like that. But you get such a different approach from the people that are handling your diet, your training, and everything like that.
And do you have to be wanting to compete? Or can you just be an ordinary person just trying to get into it?
It's from everything, you know. Like, that's the best part. Is it's from transformations, just from general diet, maintenance, competing, being an athlete in any sport that you because the people that are part of Team SES, fantastic intellectuals.
Oh, lovely.
A lot of very intelligent people from different backgrounds and no different aspects of the sport. So.
And they invested in you as a person, right? You're not just 100%. Another number.
You're not just a number. You get you're a lot more attention, a lot more guidance.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
That's fantastic. And if people want you to train them, they still have to access you through the Sheriff.
You can access me through that. Or you can contact me personally on my social media pages. Just send me an inbox. Slide into the DM. Not that slide, though. Slide.
Are people allowed to just slide into the DMs?
No.
So it has to be professional, guys. Don't be sliding into Lee's DMs for no reason.
Don't slide into my DMs.
Except for training.
Yeah.
Lee, it has been such an incredible show. Thank you so much for being here, for chatting, for giving people wisdom, and for surviving.
Thank you so much. I really had an awesome time coming here to Cliff Central. Everyone's fantastic. It's a fantastic setup.
Right.
And it's really, really
well,
nice.
Well, come back.
No, I'll pop in.
Next time Tamisha might join us. But you know what?
Yeah.
You might be my new co-host.
You
who
never
knows?
Know. I might have just won the lot.
Cheers, guys. Till next week. CliffCentral.com.